I'm going to the party.
Thank you, Denise. Thank you, Evan.
Oh, wait.
I don't think they'd appreciate it. Okay. Well, on the surface, the gospel lesson. Am I going through this? Okay. So on the surface, the gospel lesson today from Matthew is a horrid story about a wedding feast gone bad. Real bad. So back then in this culture, it was customary for two invitations to be sent when banquets were given. So the first asked the guests to attend, kind of like the save the date notices we receive sometimes for weddings nowadays. And then the second announced that all was ready, come on, the banquet is spread, and all was ready, come on. And the table's set, come eat, drink, and be merry. It's ready. But no one shows up for the second important invitation. No one shows up. So in this story, the king even sends out a third invitation. And he sends it out via his slaves. And he sends out his slaves to say, come on, come on, come on, let's go, let's go. I have meat roasting, my oxen, and come on, it's all there, and still no one shows up. In fact, even worse, they killed the messengers. That wasn't very nice. In fact, I think it was pretty gutsy and probably pretty stupid to kill the king's slaves and then not show up at his banquet. In fact, they paid dearly for it. They paid really dearly for it because the king got pretty angry. Mayhem and murder ensues. He sends his army out to pillage and burn the city. Not pretty. So as the city was smoldering, the king sent out more slaves into the streets to gather people and to bring to the banquet. I was wondering, were there any people left? And this was interesting. He sent out his slaves to bring in people. What kind of people? Good and bad people. Good and bad people. So the party went on. The party went on. But then the king was mingling among his guests, and the king found a guest who was not wearing a wedding robe or a garment. And in those days, it was customary for wedding guests, as they arrived, to receive a garment to put on. And you had to wear it. It was a sign of respect to wear this garment. I have no idea what it looked like, but you had to wear it. And as you came in the front door, you received that robe, that garment to wear. So the king saw this man without the wedding garment that he was supposed to be wearing. And this was very insulting to the host, to the king, not wearing the wedding garment that to his banquet. It was unthinkable to not wear the wedding garment. And in my opinion, as we have seen, you don't want to insult the king. Bad things happen, right? So the insulted king had the unfortunate guest bound hand and feet, thrown out into the night. Wow. It's a pretty horrible story, isn't it? But as most of Jesus' parables are, he used hyperbole or extreme exaggeration to get his point across. What was his point? Well, there's lots of points in this story. I'm going to touch on a couple. But first of all, who was he telling his story to? Who was his audience in this case? Well, let's go back a little bit here. Let's look at the time sequence of when Jesus told this story. In the previous chapter, chapter 21 of Matthew, or chapter, 21, he had entered Jerusalem on his little donkey. And so he's in Jerusalem. He made a triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. And then he went to the temple, cleared the temple of all the money changers. And so he is not endearing himself at all to the Pharisees and the chief priests of the temple. And now it's the next morning, and he's back at the temple, and now he's teaching at the temple. His main audience at that point are the chief priests and the elders, the Pharisees, plus the people at the temple who came to hear him teach. So back to Jesus' story. So basically, this story is a scathing rebuke to the Pharisees, to the chief elders, chief priests of the temple. It's directed at first directly at them for turning their backs on him, because he knows what's going to happen in a few days. Okay, so back to Jesus' story. So the first invitees to the wedding banquet were likely the upper crust of society, royalty, the rich, the movers, the shakers of society. They all turned their back on the king. They represent the Jewish priests and Pharisees who are plotting to kill Jesus. But then the king opens his doors for all to come to the banquet, the good, the bad, like God opens the gates to his kingdom to all of us. He invites everyone into his kingdom. Are you coming to the banquet? You come into the party? Are you ready? Are you an imposter who comes in the wrong door? Many are invited to participate in the feast, but only those who showed up and came through the front door got to join in the celebration. So there's this man who's not wearing the wedding garment. The wedding garment was, as I said, was given to people as they entered through the front door where guests were supposed to enter. You know, a guest enters through the front door. So this guest, who didn't get the wedding garment, entered through a different door, maybe a side door or even a back door. Who goes through a back door to enter a party? Someone sneaking in, someone trying not to be seen, someone with ulterior motives, someone up to no good, someone whose heart is not in the right place, an imposter, maybe an act of defiance, a snub. The back door. Here's a true story. A few months ago, Pastor Raleigh asked me to lead this worship because he wanted to go on the mission trip. So I began preparing the message, and I like to get a big head start. And I think God must have thought I'd gotten too big for my britches, because early last week I realized I had been preparing a message for the wrong reading. Yeah. I've been preparing a message for the reading for next week. Well prepared for next week. Unfortunately, I'm not giving the message. Or maybe he just needed me to just, you know, branch out a little bit. Reach out, branch out. Maybe he just needed me to read and study this chapter. Yikes, so time was getting short because I was going on a little trip to visit family at the end of the week, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare. So I prayed. My prayer went like this.
Hey, God.
I could really use some help with this message. And like a good Lutheran, I added, I hope you don't think I'm being lazy and selfish, because I am studying, and I have started, and I'm studying the scripture, and I'm working on it, but I sure could use some inspiration. Thank you. Amen. And God answered. First, he sent me Denise, and Denise gave me some insight. Thank you, Denise. Then, this past Thursday, as I was driving down to Poinet, Wisconsin, my hometown, for my dad's 80th birthday, I was flipping through the radio stations when I heard a familiar Irish brogue on the radio. It was a pastor whom I like, as I had heard him in the past. So he was speaking about the book of Revelations. And since we had studied the book of Revelations in small group, I decided to listen to see what he had to say. He ended his message with this, and I'm going to paraphrase what he said. If you are in the driver's seat of your life that is reserved for Jesus, and he comes and he says, hey, what are you doing in my seat? You need to let Jesus drive. You need to vacate his throne and grant Christ the King his rightful place. I have a story about someone who was invited and chose the front door, and somewhat grudgingly, he let Jesus drive. He got out of the seat and let Jesus drive. And here's the story. This is a man, his name is Thaddeus. Some of you know Thaddeus, those of you who go to the prison. Thaddeus is an inmate at Moose Lake Prison. We call them offenders. He is filled with the love of God. It's wonderful. Anyway, his story goes like this, and he just told it to us last week. He chose to go through the gate. He chose to go through the front door. But once he went in, he said, okay, God, now what? What do you want me to do? I'm in. What do you want me to do? And God said to him, read. And he said, God, I don't read. What else do you want me to do? I'll do anything else. God said, read. Thaddeus said, I don't read. What else do you want me to do? God said, read. Read, Thaddeus. Thaddeus said, God, I don't read. God said, read, Thaddeus. And they kept going on back and forth until finally he said, all right, I will read. He got a Bible and he read. And he read. And he read. And he read. And you can tell, since reading that Bible, he has spread the gospel to so many people and spread the love of Christ. It has filled him and others. And so that's what happens when you go through the front door. It's really cool. So in today's reading, Jesus is saying that while many people were called to participate in his kingdom, only those who show up are chosen to join in the festivities. But you have to come in the right way, which is through the front door. But only in this way will you be properly attired to live, serve, and function within God's kingdom. So to reaffirm that the gates are open and that you have been invited and have entered God's kingdom through the front door, I invite you to come up to the baptismal font and make the sign of the cross to remember that through your baptism you have been chosen, called, and are a beloved child of God.